the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and Chris Prytower.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to Lifetime Planning.
And I'm Chris Prytower. There are important things that must be done before the end of this year, and I'm talking about consequential things. So this is going to be an important program where you're going to want to get a notepad and a pen because there's just going to be a lot of information about things going into effect. Some of these things are immediate. For example, this program is being recorded on Friday, December the 6th, and on Saturday, December the 7th. Well, that's the deadline for most people with Medicare coverage to sign up for private drug and medical plans for next year. So once again, just hit pause, grab that pad and pen. This is going to be a really important episode.
What we're going to do today is we're going to talk about some deadlines, some things that you need to think about before the year ends, and then also we're going to talk about some changes that are coming to Social Security, Medicare, things that you need to be aware of, and then also things you might want to consider if you want to reduce your taxes, and a few things that are going to surprise you as we know more and more about the Trump tax cuts in ways that they're impacting people. But let's begin with what is going to end this Saturday. Actually, it's the Medicare enrollment period starts October 15th. It ends December 7th, which will be on a Saturday. And this is really once a year where Medicare enrollees can reevaluate your coverage. You have a chance to switch insurers, switch things. And you got to remember, with Medicare, when you first enroll in Medicare and you choose a Medigap insurance policy, every single insurance company has to insure you. It's a requirement by law. But here's where you run into the problems. What if you choose the wrong plan? It doesn't cover as much. Later on, you have illnesses that require more drugs or more treatment, and you want to switch to another Medigap plan. Insurers don't necessarily have to take you. So that's why you really want to meet with a qualified advisor and make sure you choose the right Medigap plan. And also, if you turn 65, you're no longer working, you want to make sure that you get enrolled, because if you don't, what's going to happen is you're going to get hit with a 10% penalty, which means that your premiums will be 10% higher going forward. Now, if you're 65 and you're working and you're covered by a medical plan, you are exempt from enrolling in Medicare. However, when the moment you leave work, for example, I have a client right now, she's 68 years old. She was covered under a medical plan with her employer, but she is retiring at the end of the year. So we are having her enroll into Medicare as well as choose a Medigap policy.
And Jim, I just want to underscore, it really is important that folks speak with a professional, because there's been some confusion. Just on Wednesday, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services said that beneficiaries would be able to change plans next year because of what they referred to as plan finder misinformation. They didn't provide many details on this, but it's just really important that important planning is done with a professional. So, Jim, let's go into some of the Medicare premium brackets, because there are some changes from 2019 to 2020.
Yeah, I hate to tell you, folks, but Medicare premiums are going up, and they're going up at high single digits. I can remember, Chris, a couple of years ago, Medicare Part B premiums, that's the doctor visits, was only $109. Well, brace yourself, folks. For 2020, the minimum bracket is going up to $144.60 per person, and that's going up from the low 130s. And if you are in that middle bracket, it's going up to $202.40. And if you're Larry Lots of Bucks, boy, are you getting scalped. It's going to be $491.60 per person. Now, you have to understand there are six Medicare premium brackets, just like your tax return. The more income you make, the higher your tax rate. The same thing with Medicare. The more income you make, the higher the premium. But for most individuals, next year, that premium is going up to $144.60 to $202.40, which is probably going to cover most of our listeners.
And you had mentioned at the just at the top of the program that some key retirement dates. Let's go over those. There's a handful of them. Let's start with age 50. Why is that important, Jim?
Well, at age 50, and this is going to affect a lot of you listening to the program, at age 50, you are allowed an extra $1,000 contributions to things like IRAs, things like Roth IRAs, and 401k programs. You're allowed to put an additional $6,000. For example, the limit on a 401k program is $19,000. Once you turn age 50, there's a catch-up provision that allows you to put another $6,000. If you're putting money away into an IRA at age 50, you get an extra $1,000. So it goes from $6,000 to $7,000. Likewise with a Roth IRA. Another age you need to write down. At age 55, you can get penalty-free withdrawals if, let's say, you retire early from an employer, because right now we'll get to another date when it comes to IRAs. So at age 55 and older, you can take money out of your 401k plan and you don't have to pay that 10% penalty. Also, at age 55, you can make higher contributions to a health savings account. It's $4,350 to $7,650 for a family. So there's two things that happen at age 55. Another age, and you wonder why the tax laws are complicated. Age 59 and a half, you can make penalty-free withdrawals from your IRA, and you don't have to pay that 10% withdrawal. So I want you to write these ages down because there's so many rules that are going to impact you as you get older. The next age is age 60. If you are a widow or widower, that is the earliest age of which you can begin Social Security benefits as a survivor without penalty. But I do want to point out, if you take Social Security benefits as a widower or widower at age 60, you're going to get roughly 28.5% less than the full benefit. But nonetheless, at age 60, you can take it. Now, the next age is age 62. Now, there's two things that come into effect here. One, that is the earliest age in which you can begin receiving Social Security benefits. However, you're going to only get about 75% of your full benefit, which would start at anywhere from age 66 to age 67. Also, at age 62, you can qualify for a reverse mortgage. Those begin at age 62. Now, the next one, which we began the show with, is age 65. You become eligible for Medicare. And so if you are out of work, you're not working, you must enroll if you turn 65 this year. Also, at age 65, health savings account contribution rules change. And you can spend, once you've enrolled in Medicare, usually at age 65, you can no longer contribute to an HSA. So just remember that. If you're putting money in a health savings account, you enroll for Medicare, you can no longer do that. Age 66 and age 67, those are the ages in which you can receive full Social Security benefits without any reduction in the benefits. And it's usually age 66. If you were born after 1954, that age increases to age 67. Well, you thought I'm done with ages? Nope, we got two more to get through. Age 70 is the last age in which you can defer receiving Social Security benefits and get an 8% increase in the benefit for each year you defer it. So, for example, if you were to take full Social Security benefits at age 66, you decide to defer it to age 70, that would be four more years. Your Social Security benefit would increase by 8% a year, or 32% more at age 70. And then finally, and this is very important for those of you turning 70 and a half this year, this is the year you are required to take mandatory distributions from your IRA. Now, if you don't take it in the year you turn 60 or 70 and a half, which is, let's say, this year, if you don't take it this year, you're required to take double the amount the following year. You can defer it one more year, but you will have to take double the amount. So, Chris, those are some key ages that affect contributions, they affect penalties, they affect when you're able to get things. And so we just want to point those out because those are very, very important things. And also, I forgot to mention, by the way, when it comes to Medicare, inpatient hospital deductibles are also going up. They're going up from $1,364 to $1,408 in 2020. Daily coinsurance is going from $341 to $352. Lifetime reserve goes from $682 to $704. And skilled nursing facility coinsurance goes from $170 to $176. So there are a lot of things that are going to impact you. If you're getting the feeling you're going to have to be paying more, you've got that one right.
Well, and let me also add, Jim, to when you mentioned age 70 and a half, some qualified plans do allow some participants to defer the start of their required minimum distribution until they actually retire, even if they're older than age 70 and a half. But qualified plan participants, I have to emphasize this, check with your employer to determine whether you're eligible for this deferral, because that certainly does not apply to all folks. And then one thing you left out, Jim, was that in the 40s, when someone gets into their 40s, they also are eligible for Botox. So that is something that they can opt for. Now, in addition,
how long does that go on? Maybe I'll apply for that.
Well, I mean, my understanding is that you just have to keep participating in the Botox plan to get the effect. But Jim, now we're talking about a lot of numbers, and sometimes this can, you know, sound very dry, and yet it's just so important. And if we can get into some of the tax brackets, and I know this is where, you know, some people their eyes can glaze over, but there are just some very important brackets that, especially with tax changes, it just makes a big, big difference. Can you go over some of those?
Yeah, I want to go over 2019 and 2020, and I'm not going to cover every tax bracket. There's seven of them, but I'm going to cover some very key ones, and that is the 22% bracket and the 24 and the 32. And I'm going to tell you why those are going to become important to you. Now, let's begin with 2019. The 22% bracket for a single individual is $39,475. The 24% bracket begins at $84,200. And the 32% bracket, there's a big jump there between the 24 and 32. The 32% bracket begins at $160,725. That's if you're single. Let's go over to the married side. Married side, the 22% bracket is $78,950. The 24% bracket is $168,400, and the 32% bracket is $321,450. Now, they increase these by inflation. Inflation was roughly about 1.6%. That's how much your Social Security benefits will go up for 2020. I forgot to mention that. Whoopee, 1.6%, even though the Medicare premiums are going up higher than that. Now, let's take a look at the 2020 brackets. The 22% bracket doesn't get much of a jump. It goes from $39,475 to $40,125. The 24% bracket jumps to $85,000. On the married side, it's $80,250 and $171,050. Now, why these brackets are very key, and I'm going to mention, I want you to write down two other brackets, because most people are thinking, oh, my marginal tax bracket is 22, it's 24, 32, whatever it is. I hate to tell you, folks, there's two additional taxes that you're going to get hit with. One is the Medicare tax, which is 2.9%. Once you reach the $132,800 of earned income, anything over that, you pay 2.9% Medicare tax. You pay half of that, which is 1.45. Your employer pays the other half, but it gets worse. And here are the two brackets I want you to write down. If you're single, write down $200,000. If you're married, write down $250,000. The reason I want you to write those two down, you're going to get hit with two additional taxes if you exceed those limits. Now, let me explain. If you exceed $200,000, if you're single, $250,000, if you're married, if you exceed that limit, there is an additional 3.8% tax on any investment income. It doesn't matter if it's dividends, if it's interest, if it's rent, annuities, whatever it is, you have to pay 3.8% additional tax. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're single, you make $200,000 in income, but you have $20,000 of investment income. Well, since you make $200,000, you would have to pay a 3.8% additional tax on your investment income. So on $200,000, you're going to be in a 15% dividend tax bracket. You're going to be in a 15% capital gains bracket. But because you make $200,000, add additional 3.8. It also gets much worse. If you exceed $200,000, if you're single, $250,000, you also get hit with 0.9% Medicare surtax gets added on. Now, remember when I said there's a Medicare tax at 2.9 once you exceed the Social Security limits? Add this 0.9 onto that. So in essence, you're paying 3.8% Medicare tax on top of your regular tax bracket. So if you were, let's say, in a 24% tax bracket, you could add another 3.8 on top of that, which would put you at roughly 27.8%. So there's two additional taxes. And this is one of the things you have to be well aware of, because if you aren't, these are the kind of what I call gotcha taxes that all of a sudden they kind of come in and they get you. And your accountant, when you file your taxes, says, oh, by the way, you owe extra money. Chances are it's going to be because you exceeded $200,000 if you were single and $250,000 if you were married.
You know, Jim, another thing that as people are taking notes right now, you may want to write down that on your Form 1040, if you look at lines 23 through 36, those are referred to as above-the-line deductions, and they're also known as adjustments to income. Jim, let's talk about that for a minute, because especially if someone is a high-income taxpayer, above-the-line deductions can be generally more advantageous.
Oh, absolutely. And this is one of the things. Remember now, go back to that figure I gave you, which is $200,000 and $250,000. That's adjusted gross income. If you are getting close to $200,000 or $250,000, what you're going to want to do is anything that you put into a 401k plan is a reduction of your income. IRA deductions are a reduction of your income. Certain health savings accounts are a reduction of your income. Education expenses are a reduction of income. I mean, there's a whole list of everything from expenses for Army Reserve members, certain deductions for life tenants and income beneficiaries, penalties for forfeiture or premature withdrawal of funds, like let's say you have a CD, or let's say you are financing a piece of property, and when you're refinancing it, there's a prepayment penalty. That's deductible. Those are the kind of things that you want to reduce your adjusted gross income, because if you can get it below $200,000, if you're single, or $250,000, then you're not going to get hit with those 3.8% taxes I told you about, either for Medicare or on your investment income. So once again, very important around this time of the year, you've only got about 2 or 3 weeks left that you meet with your financial advisor or accountant and ask, you know, hey, I'm in that area. What can I do to reduce this? Otherwise, you know, when it comes April 15th, you're going to have to cough up extra money. And I see this over and over again, Chris, where people are surprised when it comes to April. They've had money taken out of their paychecks. You know, they're paying in for federal and state and Social Security. But these extra 3.8% taxes come in and catch them by surprise, either on their investment income or their earned income when it comes to the Medicare tax.
And Jim, as we get to the latter part of the program here, I want to take a moment to talk about pensions. Even though nowadays fewer and fewer people have pensions, and yet I know that a certain percentage of our listeners do have one. Let's talk about some of the key points that listeners should know as it relates to pensions.
Yeah, and once again, these are above-the-line items. So once again, going back to that $200,000 figure, single, $250,000 married, one way you want to get below that, and one that's legitimate, it's called above-the-line. These are pension contributions. I want you to think of IRA, Roth IRA, SEP IRA, 401k plan, and let's just talk about basic rules. If you have a 401k plan, $19,000, an extra $6,000 if you're over age 50. If you're putting money into an IRA, $6,000, an additional $1,000 if you're over age 50. And finally, if you're putting money into a SEP IRA, you can put $56,000. So this is a great way, and you know, especially this is something you may want to consider talking to your employer. Let's say at the end of the year, a lot of companies give out bonuses to employees. You may want to consider having that bonus put into the additional amount you can put in a 401k program because that can bring down your adjusted gross income. And if you are getting a bonus, it's probably going to be taxed at your highest marginal tax bracket, which could be 22, 24, 32. Add an additional 3.8% Medicare tax on top of that, and you're talking about a big chunk of change that's going to be taken out of that bonus. So if you can get that reduced, this is the time to do it. You still have to the end of this year, the end of the month, to get this done. And so think about that, discuss that with your employer if you are going to get a bonus, and make provisions with HR that, you know, a good majority of that bonus gets put into the catch-up provisions if you're allowed or can do that. And also if you're contributing to an IRA, there's that additional $1,000 if you're over age 50.
Well, Jim, we did a show just a couple weeks ago about charitable contributions and the benefits of such contributions, but are there any itemized deductions that we should talk about on this particular program?
You know, Chris, with the Trump tax bill, a lot of the itemized deductions and the exemptions you used to get for children have been done away with. So if you are single in its place, there's a standard deduction that's $12,200. If you're married, it's $24,400. Now, let me tell you, and you're going to have to look at this with your advisor, whether you should take the standard deduction or itemize. You're allowed to use whichever one is greater. Because when it comes to itemized deductions, the only thing left is you can deduct the interest on a mortgage if it's $750,000 or under. Now, if you had a mortgage that was $1 million prior to 2018, you can still deduct the interest on $1 million. That was grandfathered. If you have property taxes, that's been capped to $10,000. And however, charitable deductions actually go up. You can put up to 60% of your adjusted gross income. That was an increase from 50%. So here's what you want to do. You want to take your interest expense on your mortgage. You want to take your property tax, you want to take any charitable contributions, add them up and see if they exceed $12,200 if you're single or $24,400. If they don't, then all you really want to do is take the standard deduction. But you should be thinking about that right now. I also want to talk about something that most people aren't aware of if you're running a business. And we're doing this with a client who's accumulating a lot of money in his C-Corp. If you have a C-Corp, you know, most of the companies on the stock exchange are C-Corps. You may not be aware of this, but if you have a C-Corp and you invest in another company, like let's say you buy shares of IBM, and let's just make this simple. Let's say that you have $10,000 of dividend income that comes in from stocks that you've invested in. In a C-Corp, you used to be able to deduct 70% of those dividends and pay zero tax, meaning only 3,000 of the 10,000 dividends would be taxable. Most people aren't aware of this advantage. And then with the tax rate being 21%, you would only pay 6% tax on your dividends. So on that $10,000 in dividends, you'd only pay $600. Now that changed under Trump. The 70% exclusion dropped to 50%. So in that example I just gave you, you have $10,000 of dividends. you can exclude $5,000. You owe no tax on that. On the other $5,000, you roughly pay a 21% tax or roughly $1,000. So on $10,000 in dividends, you only pay a $1,000 tax. I have clients that are accumulating money inside their C Corp or using a dividend program of which they exclude roughly 50%. And what we're doing is we're sending out that 50% they don't pay taxes on. We're sending it out as a dividend from their own corporation, of which they'll pay probably about a 15% tax rate. So this is a nice way to accumulate and pay low taxes on investment income.
And Jim, finally, I know we have talked about Roth conversions recently, but if we can just mention Roth conversions because it's still going to be impactful for many of our listeners.
You know, this is the real key rate. And if you're single or you're married, the rates on which you want to do Roth conversions are when you're in the 22 and 24% bracket. The reason being is, let's just take an example. You're going to convert $100,000 of your IRA into a Roth. Well, that $100,000 is taxable. So if you're in a 22% bracket, you would have to pay $22,000 taxes on that $100,000. And then once it's in the Roth, it accumulates and becomes tax-free. Or if you're in a 24% bracket. Now, the key you don't want to do, you want to keep your conversions under the 32% bracket, because at 32%, those taxes start to become hefty, even more so if you live in a high tax state like New York, New Jersey, or our own state of California. You can add, in California, you can add another 13.3% tax to whatever tax bracket you're on. So that's why a lot of our retirees, Chris, in their retirement plans, especially if they have significant amount of assets in a pension plan, part of the plan is moving them to a tax-free state at which we're going to begin Roth conversions. I have a doctor that's going to be moving to Nevada, and we're going to convert basically almost $1 million of his pension plan into a Roth over a five-year period, keeping him under that 32% bracket, because eventually that $1 million that he converts over to a Roth, that will be tax-free, and especially using high dividend stocks that are paying 4, 5, and 6%. Imagine earning 4, 5, or 6% tax-free, and that percentage goes up every year as those dividends are increased. So this is a very, very powerful tool to use in tax planning.
Obviously, this is a lot of information, a lot of numbers. We prefaced the program by explaining that it's all important. But I know in one of our recent meetings here at the firm, you're involved in some very important certification training. Maybe you'd like to share with our listeners a little bit more about that.
Well, when you're in our business, I'm a certified financial planner. I have an insurance license. I'm a Series 24. You have to have continuing education every single year. I have to have 60 hours of continuing education. So, Chris, I just got bored taking the same old education courses. So I'm actually becoming a certified tax specialist and a certified estate planning specialist. So I'm going to be sharing a lot of this with you, especially for those of you that are in upper income brackets. We're going to start this next year. When we get right into tax season, I'm going to show you some things that'll blow you away in terms of how you can get your tax brackets down to 0, 15, or 20% when you retire. That's right, 0, 15, or 20. And so we're going to be sharing a lot of that. But once again, I hope you can record this, because I know we threw out a lot of numbers, but folks, these numbers are important. The age you turn from age 50 all the way to age 70 and a half, almost every couple years, something is going to change in your financial planning because of your age, whether it's more money putting into a pension, avoiding withdrawal penalties, Social Security benefits, deferral, mandatory distributions, HSA accounts, reverse mortgages. All of these are impacted as you age in every age bracket. And also, once again, what I call the gotcha brackets of 200,000 and 250, that catches so many people with an additional 3.8% bracket. So hopefully you will Write this down, play this over, take down some of those numbers, talk to your advisor. You only have about 3 or 4 weeks left here to get some of these things done. In the meantime, on behalf of Chris Prytower and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Planning. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.